You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
I just want to teach on something. A friend of mine, Daniel, sent me a video where several versions of the Bible, different versions of the Bible, leaves out Matthew 17, verse 21. I did a little research on this. It actually is mentioned twice in the Bible, once in Matthew and once in Mark. And so the transcripts aren't left out of both of those. And so this is a verse I know needs to be in the Word. Amen. And so, and actually in some other Bibles, it goes verse 20 and then 22. It doesn't even have a 21. They just skip it. And there's a reason why I believe that this could be the case. Some old manuscripts don't have this verse in it, and some do. But I believe that why some people would choose to leave it out is because, man, when you look at certain things through religious eyes, you're going to leave a lot of things out of the Bible or not talk about a lot of things in the Bible that are spiritual. You're talking about a lot of natural things, but very few spiritual things, like angels or demons or the Holy Spirit or Satan, or, you're just going to leave a lot of stuff out. And that a lot of denominations and religions, they leave a lot of that out of everything. Matter of fact, they've gotten to the point where they say, we don't even believe in that stuff anymore. That's just all kind of an allegory or, you know, some example God's using or whatever. But it's not true. And so my point is today is to talk about fasting and the power of it. This is a story where Jesus casts out a demon, and he's talking about healing. And when he casts out a demon, in verse 18, he says, then Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was instantly healed. Why? Because the demonic presence in his life had rendered this boy given him epilepsy. He had seizures, he had fits, he had all kinds of things happen in his life that looked like a medical condition. So, and some medical conditions are demonically influenced, so that when the demon leaves, the medical condition leaves. And so this is one example of that. And he rebukes it and leaves. And then later the disciples came to him in verse 19 privately and asked, why couldn't we cast out that demon? Now we get down to verse 21. He talks about faith. And then he says this, but this kind is cast out only through prayer and fasting. This kind of demon is only cast out through prayer and fasting. Now some people say that this kind means this kind of faith. That's not what he's talking about, right? He's talking about this kind of demon. And so he's talking about a certain demonic presence. Now, why would that kind only come out through prayer and fasting? There's a couple thoughts I have about this. One of the thoughts is that sometimes when we, you know, these apostles, they've cast out a lot of demons at this point. And, you know, sometimes you run into situations that God doesn't want us to rely on our own ability ever. And I think sometimes we run into situations that God's like, hey, you're going to have to deny your flesh a little bit. And we've learned that fasting doesn't twist God's arm, right? And that we don't make him do anything by fasting. That what it does is make us more spiritually aware, not make him more spiritually aware. He's as aware as he's ever going to be. Amen? Always and forever. So it makes us more spiritually aware and makes us more spiritually sensitive and draws us closer to him and makes us more sensitive to the Holy Spirit than our flesh, than the voice of our flesh. And so it draws us closer to him. And so he's not saying we gain more power per se, but we do get much more sensitive. And when we get more sensitive, when we say that word, we get much more reliant on the Spirit of God to work through us and in us. And what God is saying is there's certain demonic influences that you're going to have to really rely on me. That's really what he's saying. You're going to have to really rely on me. When you pray and you fast, you're going to have to really press into me so that you're not relying on your own strength to cast these demons out. You're relying on my strength. And I've had an experience like that. And you know, we're about to enter into our time of fasting and prayer from the 10th to the 31st in January. And so the reason I'm bringing that up is because there's certain things you're just going to have to press in a little bit more in order to get in a place and in the presence of God and more sensitive and more reliant on the Spirit of God and the Word of God in order to overcome certain things in our lives. Amen. That's exactly what they're saying. Jesus is telling them right here. You're going to have to press in to overcome. And so if you have something that's dogging your path, and you have something that's, or the dog in your kid's path, or something that's happening that just is perpetual, like they're perpetually sick, and maybe it's a spirit of infirmity, and you've prayed about it, maybe you just got to press in a little bit more. And just get more reliant on the Spirit of God to help you. Maybe there's something persistent in your life that you have constant feelings of failure, and no matter what you've done, it just sits on you, or despair, or discouragement. Or maybe you're just being resisted in an area. You're like, man, I don't understand. For years I've been resisted here. Maybe it's just time to humble your flesh and press into the things of God. Amen? And become more sensitive and more reliant on God to help you, to deliver you from that circumstance, from that demonic activity in your life. So take advantage of these times. Take advantage of these times of prayer and fasting just to press in, you know, and grow. Grow closer to Him and rely on His power more to help you overcome these circumstances and situations. Paul said this, when I am weak, He is strong. Right? When I am weak, He is strong. That's what Jesus is telling him right here. Listen, when you're weak, He's strong. Press in. Press in and let Him be strong. Let Him help you. Let Him deliver you. Let Him help you overcome these circumstances and these situations. Demons didn't go away when Jesus died. We know that because the first church, they were casting out demons and laying out. Sickness and disease didn't go away. Demons didn't go away. None of this fallen world went away. Sin didn't go away. Temptation didn't go away. It's the same as it was when Adam first sinned and rebelled against God. Sin entered the world, sin and death, and man, it's here. And it's here to stay until Jesus comes back and there's a new heaven, a new earth, and a new everything. Amen? But until then, He's given us insight, information, wisdom in His Word and the Spirit of God living inside of us. You know, you have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living inside of you. Yeah, man, I tell you, yeah, I would get excited. I get excited every time I say that, read that. I'm like, woo! Man, I got the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of me. The life-giving, resurrecting power of the Holy Spirit living inside of me and living inside of you. That's why He said there's nothing impossible to those who believe, because the Spirit of the living God is living in here. I could preach that right now. But, you know, I just want to encourage you. You know, if there's something lingering in your life, press in. Press in. Fast and pray. Press in, man. Press into the things of God. Rely on Him. Trust Him. You know, tell Him, Lord, I need Your help here. Obviously, I need Your help. Obviously, I need some wisdom, some insight, some encouragement, and I need more of Your power. Because this thing's dogging my path. Or dogging my child's path, or dogging my marriage, or dogging my finances, or dogging my health. Man, it's just time to press in and overcome, amen? And so that's why we start off the year that way, because we're gonna start off dedicating everything to the Lord. You know, Julie and I prayed on the first, and just we held hands and prayed and just said, Lord, man, we dedicate this whole year to Your kingdom. We've asked You for many things. You've done great things in our life. And we know that You're going to finish what You've started in us, because Jesus, You're the author and finisher of our faith. What You began a good work in us, You're going to finish this good work. But, Father, our life, our whole 2024, You already know our needs. We've asked You for everything we need. Father, now, we're just going to dedicate all 2024 to advance Your kingdom and advance Your cause. Let's go. That's it. That's our whole focus. And in order to do that, God has called, He said, I've given gifts of pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and, you know, and apostles. And He's given gifts in the church. And He said, I gave those gifts in the church. This is powerful. He said, I gave those gifts in the church so they can use those gifts to help everybody else in the church do the ministry He's called you to. I have a ministry. You have a ministry. Your ministry might be to your family. You might be called to be the mama, like Sarah. You know, Sarah didn't have any great gifts. No, she did. She's the mother of many nations. She had the gift. She had the Spirit of God on her to be the best mom, you know, that the world's ever seen. Come on. Abraham didn't do, you know, he believed God to have a baby. He believed God that his wife could have a baby. That's what he did. And most people think, well, that's not a whole lot. I mean, Elijah called down fire from heaven and all kinds of stuff. What's Abraham? Just believed to have a baby? Yeah, but that was powerful. You know, don't underestimate the gifts God given you to be a father or a grandfather or a parent, a mom, a dad, a friend, a brother, a sister. Don't underestimate the Spirit of God, the gift of God on you, because you don't know who you're raising. He was raising a whole nation of people in which the Messiah was going to come through and save all of us. That's not insignificant now. Seems pretty normal just to, hey, I got my wife pregnant. She had a baby. Now, he was 100 and she was 90. I'm not as moved by him being 100 as I am her being 90 having a baby. That's impressive. I'm going to give Sarah a high five when I get to heaven. I'm like, Sarah, 90. Woo! No epidurals back in those days, girl. High 10. High 20. I give her 2 feet, 2 toes. I mean, that's powerful to me. I'm like, girl, that's happening right there, man. That's special. She wasn't crippled. You know, her hips didn't break or nothing when she did that, man. 90 years old. So, you know, don't underestimate the ministry that God has for you. Amen. Every ministry is important. Every ministry is for the building up of the body of Christ. Every ministry is given you. Every ministry he's called you to. So that's really the job of the church, is to train you up, the Bible says. He's given all these gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He said he gave all the gifts, the ministry gifts, so that you could discover your ministry and go do what God's called you to do. Amen. Some of it's children's, nursery. I mean, it's all these gifts. Ministry of Helps. There's so many ministries. And he's called you to one, and he wants to draw that out of you. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, I started last week just talking about overcoming circumstances and overcoming situations and some of the things it takes to do that. And we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read this scripture it's really powerful. 2 Corinthians, where is my chapter 4 at? Starting in verse 8, it says this. Actually, let's start reading verse 7. It says, we are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within. I love that, man. We have a glorious treasure within us. He said, so that this immeasurable power will be seen as God's, not ours. That was Jesus' point. You need to fast and pray for this demon to go out, because it's my power, not your power. It's my power working in you and through you, so that we always give him credit and glory. Amen. He's got this immeasurable. He said it's immeasurable power. Sometimes you don't feel like it's immeasurable. You feel like it's very limited. But that's because we have a wrong perspective of who lives in us. The Holy Spirit is immeasurable, has immeasurable power. And he lives in you. He's alive in you. But, you know, a lot of times we don't have faith to believe that. So, you know, the God's kingdom, the currency of heaven is faith. How you get the Holy Spirit to move is you got to believe that what God said is true about you and what he said he would do in you and through you. Man, you could just get a hold of this scripture. Father, I thank you. I have immeasurable. You can't measure the power of the whole. That's the Spirit of Almighty God living inside of me. Someone's going to get a revelation of this tonight, man. It's going to change your world. Because you're going to realize I had an immeasurable. You know, I always say, Jesus said, I came to give life and life abundantly. Well, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. So that means the Spirit of life and abundant life lives inside of us. And I always speak that over my family and over your family members, that people give me prayer requests over healing. I always say, man, Father, they have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life and abundant life lives inside of them and drives out all sickness and disease out of their body in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, Holy Spirit. Let's go. But he says, we have immeasurable power, will be seen as God's, not ours. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. Man, when you have the Holy Spirit living, alive, and well inside of you, no matter what kind of pressure the world puts on you, Satan puts on you, you put on yourself, man, the Holy Spirit, if he's in you and you're relying on God, you might be pressured. The type of pressure it's talking about is heavy pressure that would crush a normal person. But we're not normal. We're the blood-bought children of the Most High God, man. We're not normal people. We have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside us. That's why we can be pressured, but because of the Spirit of God inside of us, we're not crushed. We're not. We feel the pressure, but we're not crushed. Listen to this. At times, we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. There's times, just don't know what to do, but I know quitting's not an option. I remember I was just telling one of my sons today, you know, about just talking to him about marriage. And, you know, we just don't believe in divorce in my family. Julie and I don't believe in it because we made a vow, not just to each other, we made a vow to God. And I will not break my vow to God. Man, you might want to feel like breaking your vow to a human being, but I didn't make my vow to Julie alone. I made a vow to God. And I will not break my vow to God. Come on now. I made a vow to God. I made a vow in front of my family and her family. And when we didn't like each other, and question whether we made a mistake or not in getting married, the thing that saved our marriage, the thing that kept us going is we both made a vow to God and we were going to honor it. Come on now. We felt like quitting, but we weren't going to quit because we knew the Spirit of God that we always had a chance. We always had there's a possibility of a turnaround that's coming, and it did. It turned around. Thank God it turned around. And so, and that we honored God, and because we honored God, he turned it around. Even though we felt like quitting, we didn't quit. Sometimes you just feel like quitting on everything, like just throwing in the towel. But don't do it. Don't do it. If you have the Spirit, if you have the immeasurable power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can't do it. You want to, but you can't. That's the only time I'd say can't. You can't quit. There's no quitting. Amen. Then he says this. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We feel forsaken, but we're not forsaken. Because we know if everybody else forsakes us, God will never leave us or forsake us. He says this. We may be knocked down, but we're not out. Well, I tell you, old Pastor Rocky Balboa, he said to one of his only son, it's not how hard you hit, but how hard you get hit, and you get back up and keep fighting, son. He said, that's what really counts in life. And that's what he's talking about. You get hit, you're down, but you're not out. You hear the music. Dun, 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 dun. Some of you need to hear that tonight. Get back up. Get back up. Get back up. There's another round. If you're breathing, get back up. There's another round to fight. And God's with you and for you. I'm going to stop right there and share a story with you that they made a movie out of. Denzel Washington played in it. It's called The Hurricane. It's about a guy named Reuben Hurricane Carter. I don't know. I've not watched the movie because I don't trust Hollywood about a lot of stuff. They change so much stuff in these real stories, and they'll take as much Jesus out of it, God out of it, and anything out of it that's not secular thinking out of anything. And so, but I've not watched the movie, but I do know his story. Reuben Hurricane Carter was convicted of a triple murder along with another guy in 1967 and put in prison for life. He was a middleweight contender. He fought for the middleweight championship, lost in a decision, a good decision. But he lost, and he had some fights after that, kind of was fading in his career, but had made a lot of money and was really famous and doing pretty good. But he wasn't living for Christ, and he wasn't living right in a lot of areas, but he was not guilty of any of these murders. He was not guilty. But he got convicted and found guilty and put in prison. And I love I'm going to just summarize the story real quick. He showed up in a $5,000 suit with a gold watch and a diamond ring on the day he reported to prison. And when he reported, he said, hey, the guys, they knew he was famous. They knew who he was. He said, hey, can I talk to the warden? I said, sure. And I let him talk to the warden. He sat down with the warden. He said, listen, I know you guys had nothing to do with convicting me. The injustice that I've experienced, because I'm not guilty of what they accused me of and convicted me of. I'm not guilty. I know you had nothing to do with it, so I'm not going to hold it against you. But I'm just going to tell you right now, here's my deal being in prison. I will never be a prisoner. He said, I'm going to stay here and do this time, but I'll never be a prisoner. I won't wear your clothes. I won't eat your food. No one will touch me. Anybody puts their hands on me, guard, inmate, that's not going to end well for him. He was not playing. He said, you might put my body in prison, but you're not going to put my mind and heart in prison. That's called being down, but not out. He said, I might not be able to control my freedom right now, but I'm going to control a couple things. I'm going to control my attitude. I'm in total control of my attitude. When you face persecution and problems, let me tell you something. It might feel like you're not in control of your attitude, but I'm going to tell you tonight, you are in total control of your attitude. You always have a choice what your attitude's going to be like under pressure, when you're down, when you're on the mat, and it doesn't feel like you can get up, when you're pressured, when there's pressure on you to fall, to fail, to give up, to quit. But you have a choice. God's given you the freedom to choose your attitude. He's also given you freedom just to choose in of itself. You still have choices. Reuben Carter said, I might not have the power to determine my freedom right now, but I am still not powerless. That's what he told the warden. I'm still not powerless. And there's certain things I'm not relinquishing. My mind and heart are one of them. You might have control of my body, but you don't have control over my attitude or my choices. And you definitely don't have control over my heart. What you believe, what you stand for. Listen, guys, only you have control of that no matter what the circumstances are. Now, Satan will come and lie to you. He'll say, man, you have no choices, you have no opportunities, you're it's over, you know, they're under so much pressure, this is it, it's over. But you have some tremendous choices to make in those situations. You can choose to believe this in God's word. God, I might experience pressure, but I'm not crushed because you're with me. And if you be for me, who can be against me? They might consider me as a sheep to be slaughtered. That this circumstance, this situation that I'm in, man, it feels like I'm a sheep to be slaughtered. It feels like I'm going to get crushed, but I'm not going to get crushed, Lord, because I choose to trust you. And I know this, nothing's impossible with you. Nothing's impossible with you. I might look down, but I'm not out, God, because you're with me. You're for me. Well, you put yourself in that situation. You're the one who chose. You're the one who did it. Oh, that's the accuser. That's the accuser. Let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, "There now, therefore, is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." You need to shake off that condemnation. If you have something to repent for, make those changes, receive your forgiveness, shake off the condemnation, and move ahead. Just move on ahead. He was not going to give up. He did not give up. You know what he spent all his time doing? He spent most of his time in solitary confinement because he wouldn't conform. But he studied, they gave him books, so he studied the law, worked on his trial. Got a couple retrials, got turned down time and time again. 19 years later, though, because he chose his attitude, he chose his beliefs, he chose to say, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. This isn't good. I hate what happened. This is unjust. But he chose to fight. He chose to stand. He chose not to give up and not to quit. And he did what he knew to do. I always tell people, I say, what do I do? I said, do what you know to do. Do the next right thing and just keep doing that and just wait on God to move. And that's what he did. 19 years later, he walked out of that prison fully exonerated, totally innocent, totally slate clean and free. Now, he could have sued. He could have done a lot of things. You know, he didn't even file one civil lawsuit. He didn't hold one grudge. Because in his mind, in his heart, he was never a prisoner. Because he chose. Can I tell you, he was probably in prison with hundreds of other men that were in prison. They were in prison because they chose to. They chose to be in prison. He chose not to be. You can choose. When you're in the midst of circumstances, difficulties and circumstances, you get to choose. Choose your attitude. Choose what you believe. Choose who you're going to rely on. Choose who you're going to trust. You're going to trust the circumstances. You're going to trust God. You're going to trust your feelings. You're going to trust God. He was angry. It was unjust. He was an innocent man going to prison for life for three murders in 1967. A black man. This is not good. It's not good at any level, but he didn't choose anger. He didn't choose revenge. He chose to stand. He chose to learn, grow, and overcome. And that's the choice you get to make too. Am I going to learn from this? Am I going to grow from this? Am I going to overcome this? Or am I going to give into it? Am I going to lay down and just let it roll over me and run over me and hold me back the rest of my life? Or am I going to stand up and say, I choose differently. I choose differently. I choose to believe you, God. I choose to trust you, God. I choose to believe your word that no matter how much pressure, how much persecution, no matter what's going wrong and what's going on, God, I know I have a hope that lives inside of me, and I choose hope. I choose hope. I choose hope, and I choose your kingdom, and I'm not giving up, and I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep moving on. I'm going to keep doing the next right thing and moving on. I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow, and I'm going to overcome. He just wasn't going to give up. I love this. He said to these guys, he said, I'm not giving up. The last thing he could control, he told the warden, is himself. He could control himself. That's the only thing he had control over was himself. He also said this. I know, this is the real quote. He said, I know you had nothing to do with the injustice that brought me to this jail, so I'm willing to stay here until I get out. That's a pretty bold statement right there. I'm just willing to stay, like he could just leave, right? But I will not under any circumstances be treated like a prisoner, because I am not and never will be powerless. Man, I love that. He believed he still had choices that could be taken, could not be taken from him, even though his physical freedom had been. That's my thought. His physical freedom was gone, but his choices weren't. His attitude wasn't. His heart wasn't taken from him. Can't imprison those things. Only you can yield that. Only you can yield that, and I can yield that to circumstances or situations. Only we can yield that. It has to be our decision. I want to encourage you tonight, never yield it. You have the Spirit of the living God living inside. Never yield that. Never yield to that, to those circumstances and those situations. Never yield to it. Man. Mm-mm-mm. We decide how everything's going to affect us, whether we rise or fall, whether we learn or despair. No one can force us to look at a situation with absolutely no hope or believe it's impossible to improve the situation. No one can force you. No circumstance can force you to think like that. You have to choose to think like that. That's called hopelessness. You choose hopelessness instead of choose hope. I want to encourage you tonight, choose hope. Choose hope every time. Choose hope every time and 50 times on Sunday. Choose hope and choose hope and choose hope. You're breathing, choose hope. If you're not breathing, you'll be in the place full of hope called heaven. It's okay. You'll be all right. But if you're breathing, choose hope on earth. Choose to trust God. Choose to overcome. I love this story too. Laura Ingalls Wilder. Does anybody know who Laura Ingalls is? Raise your hand if you know who that is. Tell me who that is. Little House on the Prairie. Yeah. Yeah. Ran for years and years and years. She wrote a book. It was called Little House. I don't know where they added the prairie, I guess. I don't know. But called Little House, she wrote a book and about all her adventures as a child with her family. And she was in some of the worst situations that you could possibly be in. You know, she lived in Kansas on the plains. That's true, she did. The soil was not good. The ground was rocky and hard. They lived in Indian territory, constantly under threat. You know, you guys know, if you watched any of that series, man, you just get the flu back then, you could just die. You get an infection of any kind, you're just dead. They had no cures, no medications. They lived in the middle of nowhere. She also, it doesn't depict it, but she also lived in the wilds of Florida. You know, in the bush, the swamps. But you know, what Laura always did was she always chose two things. She always chose faith in God and a good attitude. She chose them both. She chose them both. Have you ever been around someone that's choosing faith in God but has a bad attitude? Let me tell you what that sounds like. I'm trusting God. Or, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. Man, you can say those words and have a bad attitude. But Laura Ingalls always had a good attitude. She always treated everything like it was an adventure. No matter how hard it was, how difficult it was, she's like, I'm going to go through this difficulty with faith in God and a good attitude, and I'm going to learn, I'm going to grow, I'm going to overcome. And that separates people. That's what really separates people in this world, the people that move forward and people that stay behind. What do you choose to do with this circumstance? Everybody does hard. Everybody, there's no one that doesn't have hard things to face, to do, to overcome. No one in this room doesn't have something hard. No one in this room hasn't lost someone they love. No one in this room has not faced hard things in relationships or finance. I mean, it's hard. Man, guys, everybody, every human being on the planet has hard. But what are you going to do with it? Laura decided, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to have an adventure no matter how hard it is. I'm gonna live out a life of adventure through difficulties. Wow. What a great attitude she had. Go with me to James chapter 1. Because what I'm talking about with both of these people, we talked about a little bit last week, is perception, how you see things. And in James chapter 1, I love this. I shared this with the staff yesterday. In James chapter 1, this is so powerful. You guys ready? Verse 2, it says this, my fellow believers. So he's talking to all of us, right? When it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties. You know, I always say, you know, when I hear that word hurricane, again, I go back to, you know, the greatest movie of all time, Rocky. And, yeah, you know, it's my favorite movie. And so in Apollo Creed, when he'd warm up, his trainer would say, hurricane, and he'd go, hurricane them, like punch you so many times. And I think about that, you know, a lot of times when we face difficulties, it feels like that. It's not a one-punch deal. It's like you get punched, it's like, golly, and then boom, oh, man, then my hot water tank broke, and then this happened, and this person's sick, and then my job, and then this check didn't come in. It's like you get hurricane punched. You know who is the example of that? Is Job. Job got punched and punched and punched and punched and punched till Satan said, Just let me give them sickness and disease. Just let me give them sickness and disease. And really, a lot of times, guys, serious sickness and disease is the last punch. It's the last punch Job took. And Satan wanted to do that right off the bat, but God didn't let him. But that was the last shot. He said, if you give him sickness and disease, he'll curse you and die, Lord. Because the threat of our lives with sickness and disease is the last shot. It's Satan's last shot. Try to threaten our lives. Scare us with life-threatening disease like Job had. We have choices still to make. We have choices still to make. But it comes difficulties, plural. Listen to the next two words. Anybody have Passion Version on them? Is it up on the screen? Oh, yeah. These two words right here. Right there. What does it say? See it. No. Facing nothing but difficulties, see it. Everybody say, see it. See it. Say it three times. See it, see it, see it. How do you see it? When you're facing difficulties, how do you perceive it? How do you see it? Here we go. Let's find out. He said, see it as an invaluable opportunity. Is that how you see it? You're like, oh, man, this is crazy hard and difficult and ugly and terrible. What an opportunity. It certainly doesn't feel like that, right? That's what God said. That's what he said to do. He said, see it, perceive it. Otherwise, instead of just seeing the difficulties, see it this way, as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that now here's where faith comes in. In order to see it this way, you have to have a spirit of faith in your life where you see things differently than other people see it. You see the things that are unseen and you call them and speak them and pray them like they are seen. That's called the spirit of faith. That you can see what God's word promised before it comes to pass. He said, for you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Go with me to verse 12. We'll end right here. If your faith, if, there's an if, remains strong, even while surrounded by life's difficulties, you will continue to experience the untold blessings of God. If, there's an if. It all depends on how we see it. I'm learning to see difficulties, problems, attacks, whatever, my failures, someone else's failures, just the fallen world that happens around us. I'm learning to see it differently. Like, God, this is an invaluable opportunity for me to grow closer to you. This is an invaluable opportunity for me to grow, to learn, for you to show me even things about myself that I don't know that I need to learn, things I need to get out of my life, and some things I need to add to my life. I'm starting to see it as an invaluable opportunity to grow, an invaluable opportunity to overcome, an invaluable opportunity to experience the power of the living God, the power of the Holy Spirit, to build an endurance inside of me that He's perfecting me. He's perfecting you. He's growing us, changing us, helping us, making us stronger, not weaker. Many people choose to get weaker because of difficulties. But God said, if you choose to see it differently, I'll make you stronger. I'll make you stronger than you've ever been. He says this, if your faith remains strong even while surrounded by life's difficulties, you will continue to experience the untold blessings of God. True happiness comes as you pass the test with faith and receive the victorious crown of life promised to every lover of God. Wow. God's word is so powerful. So powerful. Man, I hope online or here, I hope this encouraged you to look at what you're going through, look at what's coming, look at what's happening a different way, and choose to trust God and choose to grow, choose to learn, choose to press in and let God work on you and grow you and teach you and change you. Oh, my goodness, He wants to. Gosh, He wants to grow us. He doesn't want these difficulties to defeat us. What did He say? We're going to wear a crown of victory. A crown of victory. Man, I want to wear the victory crown. I want you to, too. I hope you feel the same way about me and the others in this room. Listen, every eye closed here and online, just close your eyes and consider your own life. And, man, if you already know Jesus Christ as Lord, let Him just minister to you right now. Just take a moment, take a breath and say, okay, God, man, show me what you're trying to teach me right here. Show me what I need to see, that I need to see it the way you see it. Not the way the world does, not the way I just want to, but the way you see it. Some of you today that already know the Lord need to say, okay, I've not counted this as an invaluable opportunity to grow and learn, but God, tonight I choose that. I choose to trust you. I'm going to choose to have a great attitude, and I'm going to choose to learn and grow from this experience. I'm not going to let it defeat me. I'm going to grow from it. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to lean into you. I'm going to lean into you and your life-giving spirit and learn and grow, and I'm going to be better, not worse, coming out of this. I'm going to walk in the untold blessings that you have for me, my family. Mm. But there's some in this room that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know him. Maybe you do feel crushed. Maybe your heart's crushed, broken. Maybe you've just failed time and time again. You're just like, golly, Father, God, I need you. I need you to save my life. I need you to help me and grow me. I need you to forgive me of my sins and call me your son and your daughter and receive me into your kingdom and teach me what you destined me for and what you created me for. And just, I want to live for you. I've tried it my way. I've done it my way. Not tried it. I've done it my way. It's meaningless and purposeless and empty, hollow without you. Maybe tonight's your night. For the first time, you're actually going to pray to God and receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, that you're going to surrender your life to him, all of it. And you won't know exactly what that means tonight, but through time, through just hanging out with time with him, he'll teach you and grow you like he's doing all the rest of us. We're all still in process. We're all still processing. And you'll begin it. You'll begin. And he'll finish. He'll begin a work in you and he'll finish a work in you. If you'll yield, if you'll surrender. He surrendered his life. If you're wondering, well, why do I have to surrender? Because he surrendered. He surrendered his life to save yours and mine. He's asking us to do the same thing. Except he's asking us to live for him. He died for us. For our sins. Mine and your sins put him on a cross. But he gladly did it so that we'd have a chance, a choice. That we could choose blessing or cursing, heaven or hell. We could choose his lordship or to yield to this world. That we'd have a choice. Well, you have a choice tonight. Online, here, you have a choice. We all want to encourage you, please choose the lordship of Christ. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to receive forgiveness but by the holy blood of Jesus. There's no other way to live a life with purpose or any meaning or any value. So if that's you and you've never prayed and you want to pray, we want to pray with you right now tonight. But maybe there's some in here that have prayed and you ran away from home and you just need to come home again. Come home. Run home. Make it your last time. Make it your last time. I'm running home and I'm staying, Lord. No matter how many times I fall. You said a righteous man falls 7 times. He keeps getting back up. Man, get back up tonight. Run home. So whether it's your first time or your next time, you need to pray and get right with God before you leave here or online. I'm going to ask you to do 2 things. Online, at the count of 3, I'm going to ask you to send us a note on that messenger page and say, I'm praying for the first time or the next time. Here in this room, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up high on the count of 3. Up high, unashamedly, and say, it's me. I need to get right with God. And then the second thing we're going to do is we're all just going to pray together. That'll be the conclusion of our service. Pastor Sean will come up and dismiss you. But let's pray first. Here we go. Get ready to raise your hand. Get ready to send us that message online. 1, 2, 3. Do it now. Do it now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over this room. Wow. Wow. Thank you. All of you. So many. God bless you. Golly, that's awesome. Let's all pray with all these in the room, all those online that are praying with us. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe you are God and my God alone. And I believe you sent Jesus to die for my sins. You raised him from the dead, and he's alive. You did all of that to rescue me. And you gave me a choice. I choose you. And because I do, I ask that you forgive me of all my rebellion, my stubbornness, my sin. against you. And I receive, by the holy blood of Jesus, your full forgiveness. And I say to you, Jesus, you are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. You surrendered your life for me. Now I surrender my life to you. And I receive the Holy Spirit to live inside of me, to teach me, to grow me, to help me. And I thank you for him. And I thank you for saving me, restoring me in right relationship with you. In Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Come on. Let's thank God for how good he is.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.